If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
According to a new report published by Rolling Stone magazine, multiple members of Congress may have been involved in the planning of the January attack on the Capitol. And I, for one, am shocked that Congress had anything to do with it, because it nearly worked.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to journalist Anderson Cooper. But first, a closer look.
A bombshell new report alleges that GOP members of Congress and Trump administration staffers had planning sessions with organizers ahead of the January 6th rally that led to the insurrection at the Capitol. Meanwhile, human insurrection, Marjorie Taylor Greene, got into yet another shouting match with colleagues on the House floor. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. After 4 years of Trump, I feel like our barometer for what counts as a scandal is a little off. Trump generated too many controversies to count, so we just moved on. For example, no one seems to remember or care that on top of everything else he did, when Trump was president, the White House accepted at least 83 separate gifts from Saudi Arabia, including artwork featuring picture of President Trump, multiple swords, daggers, leather ammo holders and holsters, tiger and cheetah fur robes, and a dagger made of pure silver with a mother-of-pearl sheath. I guess that means they hacked his Amazon wish list? Were they under the impression that our president was the drug dealer from Boogie Nights? My only regret is Trump never showed up to a rally wearing all of it at once.
I killed this cheetah myself, folks. He was fast, but I was faster. Ran him down. Ran him down and skinned him, of course. My favorite cheetah, Chester. We love Chester Cheetah, don't we, folks? With the high-top sneakers and the cool sunglasses. First time I met Chester was in 89 at CBGB's. And he walked up to me and he lowered those shades. He lowered them down to the tip of his cheetah nose. And he said to me, sir, I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, sir, it's not easy being cheesy. True words.
And seriously, who thought giving Donald Trump a dagger was a good idea? The second he unwrapped it, I bet he started running around the White House Rose Garden like this.
Let me see what you have.
Annoying!
No!
Melania had to call up whoever it was that was dumb enough to send it. Yep, nope. Yep, Melania, we understand now that was not a smart gift to send the president. Look, we're just glad everyone is okay. We promise that next time we will be best. Is that right? So all kinds of crazy flew under the radar during Trump's presidency. Meanwhile, here's a very real story about President Biden that Politico thought qualified as news last week. He swears a lot. When he gets going, he definitely gets going, said one White House official. In meetings with aides, Biden's vulgarities include but are not limited to them. What the are we doing? Why the isn't this happening? Bullshit, damn it, or just simply The man is 78. I think he's old enough to curse. I'm in my 40s, and I curse that much just getting out of a chair. And are we in high school? Was this gossip delivered next to an open locker?
Did you hear? Joe Biden said the word.
Of course Joe Biden curses. Nobody says malarkey unless they're trying really hard not to say go get The guy's from Scranton, which is a place for people not fancy enough for Philly. Scranton even sounds like a curse word. Hey, get off your ass and do some work, you Scranton dip. He lives in Delaware. Have you ever been to Delaware? When you get off the Amtrak in Wilmington, it's almost impossible not to say, oh. I have cousins in Delaware, and we have multiple Delawareans on our staff, so I can make those jokes, knowing full well that the next time I see them, they will tell me off. It's like how they express love. I do wish we'd see more of this version of Joe Biden, though. Sometimes the soft-talking Joe can be a little unnerving. He's like a grandpa in a dystopian YA movie who won't admit how bad things are. It's okay. We're going to be fine. We're out of food, but I think I can talk some sense to the Council of Authorium. No one here is going to have to compete in the Death Olympics. No one! I'd rather Joe just came out guns blazing, flipping people off at town halls, challenging Jake Tapper to an arm wrestling match. Just be the grandpa who goes to Lowe's and finds out the cost of propane went up $1.50. That's the first time I ever heard the words horse and kiss my wrinkly old ass in the same sentence. But I get his frustration. Everyone's frustrated with everything. You can just feel it. People are mad and tired after a year and a half of being cooped up inside and Republicans being nut jobs and corporate Democrats making things difficult just because they can. Everyone's exhausted. Everything's exhausting. Former President Obama made that point during a rally in Virginia for Democratic gubernatorial candidate Terry McAuliffe over the weekend.
Look, I know a lot of people are tired of politics right now. I'll make a confession. I never watch political shows. Michelle and I, when we're at home, I'm reading. She's watching HGTV, maybe the Food Channel.
Only Obama could get away with a joke like that. If I ever said that about my wife, I'd get an icy stare so haunting it would stay with me for the rest of my life. I'd have to change stream mid-conversation. Well, and I'm the reader in the family. This one's always watching, keeping up with the Dow Jones. She's very good with money. I just spend it, but she makes sure we save for the kids' future. But I guess Obama's just working on some new material because ever since he left the White House, he's always peppered some stand-up comedy into his speeches. And he did the same in Virginia, referencing the fact that the GOP candidate for governor, Glenn Youngkin, has refused to say if he personally supports same-sex marriage.
I mean, I understand why people just feel kind of like, oh, when's this going to end? And sometimes politics in Washington feels that way, right? It's like, oh, are we still arguing about gay marriage? Really? I thought that ship had sailed. I thought that was pretty clearly the right thing to do. I thought we got Republicans across the country who said, yeah, that of course. And that, we're going to reopen that can of what?
I love when stand-up Obama comes back. Someone get that man a brick wall and a cordless mic. He must be working on material for his new Netflix special, Barack Oh No You Didn't.
What's the deal with cell phones on airplanes? You're telling me I can call Beijing from Air Force One, but JetBlue won't let me buy Candy Crush. I guess the only thing they want crushed is my kneecaps. When the dummy in front of me leans his seat back. Let's see, what else?
What else? All right, Obama's in Virginia because the race for governor is tight there, and Republicans are already preparing to call any Democratic victory in that state stolen, just like they did with the 2020 election. In fact, former Trump aide Steve Bannon has already said as much, and last week he invited MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell back on his podcast to float yet another weird claim about supposed voter fraud. You can find fraudulent votes in parking lots.
Either McAuliffe is going to lose or it's going to be so tight, right? And you got this thing in Fairfax where they're trying to steal it already because the Biden administration has collapsed.
The really interesting part is you can pull a household. If you pull a household that has five people or below, it's usually very accurate, about almost 100%. You go there, yes, all five voted, all five live there. You get up to six, up to, it can go all the way as high as 300. But so let's say you have 20 people living in this household, and you look, or this house, and you look on Google Maps, because we pull, the computer pulls it up, it's a little single dwelling. Now you go out there, and you find out only two people live there, but they used all the other 18 people's names that they pulled there. Empty parking lots, I mean, you name it, it's on there.
You know, I'm starting to worry that Mike Lindell is neglecting his pillow business. No, I'm sorry, Mr. Lindell isn't in right now. He's on his hands and knees in the parking lot looking for votes. But yeah, sure, I can take a message. Okay, lumpy. Smells wet, got it, anyway. Scratching sound coming from the inside. Also, I love how long his explanation is, and all it comes down to is you go on Google Maps. It'd be like your doctor saying, we're gonna take blood, run a full set of tests, get you the MRI, and then when we have all the data, we ask Jeeves. Seriously, what the hell is Lindell talking about? Does he think people are committing voter fraud because they're getting mail for old tenants? Because if you live in New York, that's just how it works. I didn't vote 18 times, but I still get mail at my apartment for 18 different people. I just got a telegram addressed to someone named Lois Perlmutter inviting them to a Save Penn Station fundraiser. Joke for the Jane Jacobs fans. Republicans are not abandoning Trump's war on democracy. They're embracing it, which is why it's all the more important that we get to the bottom of what happened after the last election before Republicans try to steal the next one, especially after bombshell new allegations supported by Rolling Stone yesterday, in which several GOP members of Congress are accused of holding dozens of planning sessions with the organizers of the January 6th rallies that ultimately led to the violent insurrection at the Capitol.
A January 6th bombshell. Rolling Stone magazine reporting that organizers of the Capitol rally that day had been promised a, quote, blanket pardon by a U.S. congressman.
Rolling Stone reports Arizona Congressman Paul Gosar gave protest organizers the impression that he had spoken to then-President Trump about the pardons for an unrelated investigation.
The organizers said they allegedly spoke to, quote, a dozen U.S. representatives or their teams. They named Representative Paul Gosar and Representative Andy Biggs of Arizona, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, Representative Lauren Boebert of Colorado, Madison Cawthorn of North Carolina, Louie Gohmert of Texas, and Mo Brooks of Alabama, all Republican congressmen and women. Right now, we don't know what was discussed with each representative by those planners, but the organizers gave Rolling Stone an example with Representative Gosar, who's saying he offered them the possibility of receiving a, quote, blanket pardon to motivate them to plan the rallies.
Jeez, everyone was in on this. Was Lindell there too? I found a fake ballot in the parking lot of a CVS. This guy voted three times for someone named Trojan Magnum. Blanket pardon sounds like the kind of made-up fake legal things these doofuses would say. It's a weird feature of our politics that the most sinister characters are also the biggest morons. You can just imagine Paul Gosar or Marjorie Taylor Greene on the phone with the January 6 idiots huddled in their weird little malicious hideout slash treehouse, promise them all kinds of crazy. You didn't hear it from me, but I spoke to the chief wizard of the Supreme Court, and he said there's a secret provision written by Benjamin Franklin's ghost. And it says you can have a blanket pardon, a private plane, and a $100 gift card to Golden Corral. And if you don't remember Paul Gosar, he's the guy who's so crazy six of his siblings famously endorsed his opponent. And he recently claimed that secret sources inside something called the CIA fraud department told him the election was stolen.
Here's what he said about 2 weeks before Republicans in his state announced they had found nothing but additional votes for Joe Biden in their bogus and expensive audit of election results in Arizona's most populous county.
If we can do that and follow through on this audit, folks, if it's what I've been told, and I had people come to me early hours of the day after, from the Security Exchange Fraud Department to the CIA Fraud Department, that between 450 and 700,000 ballots were altered in the state of Arizona.
First, the CIA Fraud Department, not a thing, doesn't exist.
Exactly. The greatest trick the CIA fraud department ever pulled was convincing the world they didn't exist. Gosar does seem like the kind of guy who's on the phone with other fraud departments a fair amount. Well, the thing is, someone from your bank emailed me for my social security number, so I do think you're responsible for my identity being stolen. Who from your bank? Your mascot, Chaser Cheetah. He's not your mascot? again, this is the fun thing, right? Like, when there's no audience, you're like, yeah, Chester Cheetah's gonna kill, we'll call it back, they'll carry me out on the shoulders. And then the show ends and we go back in the dressing room and we're like, that callback worked. And they're like, yeah, yeah. Now we're finding out, you guys. We're finding out. In a way, you are the CIA fraud department. And you just exposed that joke. And it also wouldn't surprise me if Marjorie Taylor Greene was involved in all this. She, of course, was a vocal backer of Trump's big lie and the ensuing attempt to overthrow the election results. And last week, when the House voted to hold Steve Bannon in contempt for refusing to comply with the subpoena, she got into yet another shouting match with some of her colleagues.
Yesterday, we saw conspiracy theorist and Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican of Georgia, approach and accost Congresswoman Liz Cheney.
This happened during the debate over the criminal contempt referral of Steve Bannon. Taylor Greene walked behind Congresswoman Liz Cheney and Congressman Jamie Raskin during that debate and basically accused them of making too much out of this and saying that they were focused on the wrong things. It delved into a shouting match on some level between the three of them and Liz Cheney actually calling Marjorie Taylor Greene a joke and bringing up the fact that she had talked about Jewish space lasers at one point, a claim that Greene very much denies.
Greene yelled back that she never said that and called Cheney a joke.
It's not great when you start a confrontation with someone and have to end it by insisting you never claim wildfires were started by Jewish space lasers. It's getting harder and harder to articulate just how unhinged the right has become. They're now claiming they're vindicated by everything from secret sources inside fake CIA fraud departments to proof of voter fraud found in empty parking lots. And they're not going to stop. They're doubling down. And new reporting continues to link them directly to attempts to overthrow our democracy. These people need to be told in no uncertain terms.
No!
Didn't see that one coming. This has been a closer look.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back, and you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores, like Urban Outfitters, Fenty Beauty, and Expedia, and even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Our guest tonight is an Emmy and Peabody Award-winning journalist who hosts Anderson Cooper 360 weeknights on CNN. His New York Times best-selling book, Vanderbilt, The Rise and Fall of an American Dynasty, is out now. Please welcome back to the show our friend Anderson Cooper. Welcome back.
How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I feel like this is... very happy you're here.
Thank you.
This is maybe a byproduct of the fact that I see you on TV all the time. I did not realize you had not been here since 2017.
I had no idea either.
That's a long break.
I see you on TV.
There you go. So
it's better that way.
It's better that way, yeah. This is already awkward, yeah. But congratulations. You have had a baby boy since I last saw you. Here's Wyatt right there. Look at this guy. 18 months.
He's 18 months old.
Pretty good time.
It's the best thing ever.
Talking, chatting.
Yeah, lots of, you know, shoes is his favorite word, and paintings. He says au revoir.
Oh, he says au revoir?
The latest thing he said just yesterday, we taught him, where did it go? And so he just goes around going, where did he go? He doesn't know what it means.
he knows it's like a button. He's right, like, it's exactly. A perfect thing
and
to
say. And it goes up.
Yeah. Halloween, what are you guys going
to
do?
You know, Halloween seems to be like, it's like an arms race with these kids in the Halloween costumes, especially with like well-known people's children. They seem to put pictures of them out on
And if you haven't planned in advance, it's already too late.
Oh my God.
Supply chains are down.
It's totally, yes, I know.
It is too late.
So a friend of mine named Chip Kidd, who actually did the book cover of Vanderbilt and is an old friend of my mom's, he's a Batman obsessed and has an amazing Batman collection. He gave Wyatt a costume his mom made for him when he was a kid, probably in the early 70s.
Wow.
It's a homemade cape, Batman cape, with like a cheap plastic. Do you remember those? I don't know how old you are, but those Halloween costumes when I was a kid was just like a weird one-dimensional mask and a tiny piece of elastic just go around it.
So it was like back when people thought a really healthy thing to breathe all night was plastic.
Yes, exactly. It was completely flammable.
Yeah.
So that's what I bought. I have
there
for
you go. Yeah.
Very flammable costume.
Like, I feel like vintage fashion is like the highest end, whereas vintage Halloween is like very low end. Like that is
I'm trying to bring that back.
Yeah, probably low end cheap Halloween.
I tried it on him and he wasn't really thrilled with the whole mask yet.
But, yeah, he'll get used to it. Yeah, yeah. If he wants his candy.
I think it's the kind of thing he'll look back on and think, oh, that's cool. I was wearing a vintage Batman costume.
I love that you are now officially a parent because your logic is, you will look back on this and like it. It's not my fault you can't appreciate the present. What about, I've heard this, we're kind of the same, I'll admit, try to limit screen time.
Yes, I'm obsessed with, limiting screen time. Although it's hard because, you know, if I'm at work, I'll occasionally, in between commercial breaks, whatever, I'll just call to check on how he's doing. And he's not allowed to, like, look at a screen, or not allowed. I mean, we try to avoid it. But he will now grab the screen while I'm FaceTiming with Benjamin, my former partner, and he will run with it like a crazy albino monkey. And it's the greatest thing ever. I love it because it's like his point of view of the world.
Yeah.
And he's just like. And it's, I love it.
I haven't been able to, I'm trying to impress this upon my boys, which is when they FaceTime with my parents. They do that, and I want to, like, I can tell my parents just need to get off the phone because they're, like, old and it's giving them a headache. It's like, for them, that's a roller coaster of, like, let me show you what I've been doing. And they're like, I can tell they're like, well, you know what? Send us a still photo. as a young man.
Yes.
You dressed up a lot. I mean, I guess this is very in line with a Vanderbilt upbringing.
Yeah, it is weird. I look back, and all of the photos, I sent some because all the photos of my childhood, I'm wearing costumes, and this isn't for Halloween.
This is not Halloween.
This is just
around
day.
The house.
This
That's
was any
normal.
Given day.
That's normal.
Yeah, that was my night outfit.
You're doing a very good job here of not
that
smiling.
Was, yeah. You're that very was my beef eater outfit. No, my brother wearing my night outfit also.
So there you go. So that was always part of it.
Yeah, it was the 70s. It was the early 70s.
Kids dressed up like knights in the 70s.
Yes.
What was trick-or-treating growing up in New York City? What was trick-or-treating in New
People
York like
it's
in the
weird.
70s?
I would, my friend Michael Uchtdell lived across the street in a high rise. And I would go over there and trick-or-treat. And it was great because the elevator, that was back, like buildings then had elevator operators. And they would put up a list in the elevator of who wanted to be bothered and who didn't want to be bothered. So you knew your success rate was like 100%. Because you wouldn't bother with like the old lady who didn't want to, have you come to the door.
Yeah. Was it about 50-50? Like what percentage of New Yorkers in the 70s were cool with kids in costumes coming to their door?
In the building I went, it was fine.
All right.
But,
were you nervous? I mean, I feel like everybody who talks
like 20% of the time you got blades in the apples.
But, that's fine.
But it was totally, no one thought about it then. Like, it was unwrapped candies. It was marathon bars. Remember those long marathon bars?
Oh, to get a marathon bar, that's a day maker. I have a lot to ask you about, especially the book. We'll be right back with more from Anderson Cooper. Welcome back to Late Night. We're here with Anderson Cooper. So this book is about your mom's side of the family.
I was told that you guys didn't have a copy of the book, so I actually stopped at Barnes & Noble down the block as I was coming here, ran in, bought a copy, and then came here.
That's so embarrassing. You bought your own book?
Yes. I got a text on the way like, do you have a copy of the book with you? Because they don't have one. I'm like, what, like I walk around with my book like a schmuck?
Did you find it right away?
Happen to walk around the city like, hey, Anderson Cooper's got a new book.
The worst would be if you walked around like this. Just like to make sure people saw it was you. This is your mom's side of the family.
Yes.
The Vanderbilts.
Yes.
For those who don't know the history.
This guy Commodore Cornelius Vanderbilt made a ton of money in the late 1800s. He started with nothing and built a steamship empire and then a railroad empire. You can see a statue of him outside Grand Central Station, which, by the way, he built for himself.
That's very nice. When you got a little extra scratch lying around, why not?
It wasn't like a Grateful City built a statue for him. He was like, you know what? I'll do it myself. Don't worry about it. I got it. I got this.
Much like you, he actually went to the statue store and bought it. He was like, do you have a Cornelius? Carrying it out, walking
around.
And
so the book is really just about this. I mean, when he died, he was the richest man in the world. He had one out of every $20 that was in circulation was his. And I'm wondering where it went. But that's what the book is really about. It's about, I never wanted anything to do with that side of the family. I felt like no good could come from it. And I was really interested in sort of how the pathology, his money obsession, how it infected subsequent generations in the family.
Your mother lived a long, interesting life.
Yes.
She recently passed away, but yes. You, as a very good son, you helped her have a social media footprint.
Well, yeah. My mom died when she was 95, but like around the time she was 91, she was getting a little depressed. A lot of her friends were dying, and she works as an artist as well, and she wasn't painting. So I thought, how am I going to like get her motivated again? So I introduced her to Instagram, which she thought was like magic.
Yeah.
And she was like, why would anyone want to follow me? I was like, trust me, though, there's some people. And I got her on Instagram, and then I created an account for her artwork to like get her out of bed and paint. And she was like, well, who's going to deal with the customers? And there really wasn't anyone to deal with the customers. So I was like, I know what you're asking. I'll do it. So my mom was like, well, you should invent a character. You can't do it as yourself because you can't be like, hi, I'm Anderson. What size frame do you want?
Right, right.
So my mom took great pleasure in this. And she was like, okay, why don't we invent a lady of a certain age named Monica, and who is a longtime trusted assistant, and you be Monica, and you answer all the DMs on Instagram to buy my artwork. And that's what I did for 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I would be...
Very well done.
I would be... Literally, I'd be in Baghdad and, you know, in between things, I'd be like, would you like a laminated white frame? Yeah, as Monica. And well, people would be like, what's it like working for Ms. Vanderbilt? I was like, oh, she's so lovely. I don't know why she picked the name. I don't know. Yeah.
I couldn't
be a guy, but apparently no, it couldn't have been.
I like as soon as she got involved with social media, she realized it was a good platform to lie on.
Yes.
I'll actually use that as a transition. You've done something fascinating. You have actually interacted with some people who got very deep in this QAnon world.
Yes.
To the point that they had and embraced conspiracy theories about you, like
yes,
some really horrifying things.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How did you end up reaching out and talking to one of them?
Well, one of them, there was a person in a documentary that CNN was doing about QAnon, and this guy, I think he was in Australia, who believed that I ate babies.
Yeah.
And currently, and... but yeah, and that was just one of the QAnon beliefs. You know, I mean, it's insane. It's based on age-old, like, anti-Semitic tropes and anti-Catholic tropes. The whole thing of, like, you know, blood libel, Jews eating the blood, you know, drinking the blood of children. The Nazis said that. That's what QAnon believes as well. But it's all celebrities and people on television. And yeah, so I interviewed the guy. The first guy had now renounced his beliefs. And I wanted to know, like, did you genuinely believe this, that I, like, was eating babies? And he was like, yeah, I did. And he was like, I'm sorry, you seem like a nice guy. I was like, oh, thanks. I was like, no, don't make any definite decisions. See how, you know.
I mean, those moments must be nice, but obviously they're few and far between, right? Like,
yes.
I feel like there's not a wave of people renouncing QAnon.
No. I've interviewed another guy who reached out to me on direct message to tell me that I was going to be executed, I think it was last March in Washington. And I was like, I mean, does he really think this? And so I actually reached out. I was like, you know, how do you, why that date? I was just sort of curious.
Yeah.
And anyway, we started talking, and he seemed interested in talking, and I ended up interviewing him, and it was fascinating. You know, he had a family, he had a life, and he believes the Vatican has fallen and the Pope has been arrested and that Joe Biden is not president, but it's somebody in a costume that looks like Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to finding out which one of you guys is right. hey, thanks for being here. Congrats on the book. It's always nice to see you. And Scuba 360 airs weeknights on CNN, and Vanderbilt, The Rise and Fall of an American Dynasty is out now.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
To be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.